You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Arthur Erickson, the great Vancouver-born architect, passed away earlier this year at the age of 84. In his lengthy career, he designed universities, courthouses, embassies, and even entire city blocks. Today, we're going to take a look at a more modest project of his, but one that is nonetheless very revealing about Erickson's vision and character. Arthur Erickson once said that the bulldozer was the symbol of North America. By that he meant that economic laws had an inordinate influence on our lives and in the places we lived. He described North American cities as wastelands of parked cars, the priorities being roadways and real estate. And he himself advocated for a balance between economic profit and social well-being. And Erickson tried to achieve this balance in the many buildings he designed. But this was not only an architectural or artistic principle for Erickson, it was also a personal principle and one he was willing to make considerable sacrifices for. And it was this principle which impelled Arthur Erickson to get involved with the Portland Hotel Society. Mark Townsend is executive director of the Portland Hotel Society, and he tells us about his organization.
Portland Hotel Society has been in the downtown east side for about 17 years, and we try our best to provide housing, service, and advocacy, like advocacy, for instance, on the supervised injection site. We're involved in a big fight with Stephen Harper, unfortunately, because he wants to shut it. So those are roughly the kind of things we do. But we also develop new housing. Obviously, the housing stock for low-income people in this community is crap. It's better than a tent, or it's better than sleeping on the street, but it's still crap. So we try and work to cobble together bits of money or exploit programs to get some decent affordable housing for people.
In the mid-90s, the Portland Hotel Society had a problem.
There was an old hotel that the residents were living in, and it was really, really run down. There was like probably every piece of pipe in the hotel had been patched, because I personally was working in the hotel. I think that there was probably 1,000 patches in the pipe. The electrical was gone. It was built, you know, basically around 1914, and not much had happened to it since then. So it was worn out. So we wanted to build a new building. So we saw an empty site that the city owned opposite the Army and Navy on Hastings, and we thought that's where we want to build a building. But then we wanted to find an architect that would maybe could do something simple, because it had to be very simple, basically, because we didn't have any money to do much more. But we wanted kind of to be simple and cheap and durable, but also have some sort of respect for the people we were dealing with.
So Mark Townsend and his colleagues started to draw up a list of potential architects. It was another Portland Hotel Society director, Liz Evans, who suggested Erickson. But the daunting task of calling up the famous architect and persuading him to take up the project fell to Mark Townsend. He describes the call.
Well, it was funny because I personally called him and I said, we've got this building that we want to build in the downtown east side, but we have about half the budget that you normally have, and it's for people that are very difficult and hard to house. And, you know, we can only pay the basic fees. So, you know, we could buy you a desk lamp. So he said he would. He said he'd love to. So that was kind of it.
In 1990, Arthur Erickson went bankrupt. He lost his offices in Toronto and Los Angeles, and even lost his Vancouver house. And that is until some friends and benefactors bought it back. Perhaps this temporary homelessness gave Erickson a deeper sympathy for the future residents of the Portland Hotel. For this was not going to be just another residential building for just another group of people. Sandell Billows is manager of the Portland Hotel, and she tells us about the residents.
Folks who have, fallen through the cracks through other housing projects, who have been abandoned by their families, who are addicted to drugs, who have mental illness and are not receiving care. Somehow they end up in the downtown east side, and through either a referral process or through walking in off the street or through relationship with other folks in the neighborhood, they somehow make it to our doorstep, and we're basically willing to house anybody who is needing housing.
When designing the Portland Hotel, Erickson thus had a number of challenges: a unique group of residents, a unique setting, and a modest budget. Mark Townsend describes how Erickson went about meeting these challenges.
Well, it's interesting because what I kind of realized is Arthur and his team, which was a guy called Michelle and Nick, they kind of work, they like models. So it was like, you know, they'd have an idea, then they'd build a model, and then Arthur would sit there and they'd all look at the model and he'd rip bits of the model out and tear it up, and then that was the design. So it's more like a kind of an artistic, you know, there's a kind of a sketch of a feeling of it. And then the model seemed to be very important in their design. I remember we sat many hours over one of those models, seeing what we could do within the budget, you know. So he was just able to make it very plain, very simple, but I think it's just kind of simple and peaceful. And that's kind of the feeling that we wanted to evoke, you know. And we wanted also to evoke that, even though it was very cheap, we wanted people to be to at least see a glimpse of the garden at the back. And we also, that space at the back was very important because people, even in this building, have small rooms. They don't really have very many places to go. Despite what people think, people are scared to go to other areas of the city because they feel judged and looked down on. I mean, obviously there's one or two panhandlers, but the normal mass of people feel out of place and judged and ashamed in other parts of the city. So there's not many places to go, so we wanted to create a little oasis, which, you know, given that we didn't have much money, you know, it's just some paving stones and a water feature. I think it, you know, it does do that. Obviously we didn't have an unlimited budget for, you know, Arthur would have liked glass floors and that kind of stuff, but we couldn't do that.
Just after he completed the 10-story building, Erickson commented that he was building a highly illuminated place for people accustomed to dark corners. Although from the exterior, the Portland Hotel looks dark and gray, once inside, it's hard not to be struck by the openness and the light. Chandel Billows describes the effect.
Yeah, in the design, it was just very important to bring in as much natural light into the building. And so by having a concrete building, we recognize the importance of having as many windows as possible, also bearing in mind the population that we're housing. So the windows would definitely be aimed at bringing a natural light into the common space that most people hang out in during the day.
Another key element of the building is the green. If you look at the Portland hotels in the back, you'd never guess that the high wall conceals a spacious courtyard. In fact, it's a double-level courtyard, containing wooden benches, a walkway, trees, and even a waterfall.
We definitely purposely created this courtyard. We have one down here on the lower side, and then there's a staircase. There's a larger courtyard up above. And it is for the purpose of providing a space for people, kind of like a backyard. This is their home. We'd love to be able to give them a balcony or a backyard. Obviously, we can in an apartment building. And so this is as close to that as we could get by providing some green space. There's a little water fountain. There's a few different benches for people to gather in the summer. We host barbecues out there. We have, once in a while, bring in different bands and live music out there for folks to have a bit of a celebration through the summer. And it's used daily in the summer. People love it. It's just, and the sound of the water, we have a small waterfall out there, the sound of the water, it's quite, the way it's structured with the concrete and the glass at the very back, it just kind of is a very quiet area in the middle of this city and a really busy neighborhood. So people really do find it as a bit of a sacred space in there. And it's just a private place that no one else really has access to other than folks who live here.
Mingling building materials with green has been a constant element in Erickson's work. Vegetation surrounds and emerges from the downtown courthouse, for instance. And Erickson wanted the notoriously gray walls of Simon Fraser to be covered with vines. His own home in Vancouver had not so much a backyard, but something closer to a small jungle. Trees, bushes, wild grasses, a pond thick with vegetation. These elements, design and nature, seemed essential to Erickson. Chandel took me for a little tour of the courtyard. And as we walked around, she elaborated on how people use the space.
Grassy areas. kind of like a park, kind of like your backyard. We have a gardening program here as well. So there's some residents who work back here. They weed the garden, they water the garden, they take initiative in planting flowers. Folks just come and sit out here. Some occasion will sit and chat, some will just kind of walk around. Some people who have pets in the building when bringing their dogs out here to wander around. It's just really a place for people to gather and hang out together.
The simple interior of the building complements the serene garden and the abundant light.
It is stark, it's white, but there's quite a bit of natural light. Mm-hmm. But it's these colors just because it's white, because it's calming. It's calming for people. They have chaotic lifestyles, chaotic histories, and to be able to have a place like this that just offers kind of a peaceful environment. And we notice that color really does offer that, and letting in as much natural light provides a peaceful and tranquil place for people.
And it's looking out onto the green as well.
Yeah, exactly, out onto the courtyard with a bit of splash of color in the flowers.
As we walked around the hotel, we came to an all-purpose room. Chandel explained that this is what they call the ballroom.
A large space that's used for workshops, for staff. It's used for art groups for residents in this building. We have an art group that happens twice a month, music group that happens here, any memorials that happen for residents in this building or other buildings happen here, just because it's a large gathering space and it's just kind of in a central location.
One striking feature of the ballroom was some artwork. It was a collective piece, a number of the residents having contributed.
This art piece here that's on the wall was by a friend of one of the staff who basically connected with a lot of different residents in the neighborhood, not particularly from this hotel, and just basically had them write some word on their hand that was meaningful to them, and she took a picture of all of their different hands. And so we're also very big on having art pieces that represent the neighborhood and the folks who live here, and so that depicts it very well.
But the Portland Hotel doesn't just offer shelter, it also provides a number of other essential services. Again, Chandel Billows.
The first floor houses offices, and it houses the clinic. So we have a clinic that runs out of this building with a nurse and a doctor on staff. And we also have different programs that run out of here. One is we have a hairdresser that's available to residents once a week. So we actually had a little hairdressing station built on this floor for people to come down and have their hair washed and their hair dyed or colored or straightened and cut. And it's rare to find a place where folks down here can go and get their hair cut. So we have this here once a month, and residents who live here can access it, and other folks who access the clinic while the hours of hairdressing are happening can access the free haircut as well. We also offer acupuncture and massage therapy twice a month.
Many of the residents of the Portland Hotel will spend their entire lives here. The Portland becomes, in essence, their family, and when a member passes away, a memorial service is often held.
We have a chaplain that works for the Portland as well, so she leads most of our memorials. She does a lot of care and one-on-one through the last days of people's lives in hospital or here in the building if that's where they choose to die. We use the ballroom space for memorials, again, so that we can invite residents and staff and people from the neighborhood to come and basically celebrate that person's life and share in telling stories.
The entire hotel contains 86 suites in total, about 11 per floor. The rooms themselves are 120 square feet, but they do seem more spacious than that because of the light which the large open windows admit. Just as crucial, each suite has a washroom, a rarity in the SROs of the downtown east side. Stephanie is a resident of the Portland Hotel, and she tells us what it's like to actually live there.
I've lived here at the Portland since August 3rd, 2000. Mm-hmm. And that was before we moved. That was when we moved from the old Portland. It was great when we moved in. Our own bathrooms and everything.
I asked Chandel and Stephanie about the facilities and the amenities available to the residents.
Two suites on this floor that are one bedrooms. Mm-hmm. There's only two
three.
One.
Actually, three on the ninth floor, three on the eighth floor, and then two on all the other floors. That's the kitchen for the ninth floor, if people would like to, if people that don't have stoves in the rooms. You need to get an oven put in there.
It's also, there's a, it's just a another communal space for folks on each floor. So every floor in the building has that space. It has a table, a big table with benches to be able to sit at. There's laundry in there. There's also a sink and a stove that people can use who don't have that. Not all the rooms have a stove. So we were historically using it as a place for community kitchen on each floor to be able to gather residents together with staff and make food and sit around the table.
The courtyard is also something that Stephanie appreciates.
I like it. We never had a courtyard at the old Portland Hotel, and they don't have one now either. So it's nice to go out. Sometimes I just go and sit out there and sit on the bench. If you get the waterfall going, it's nice to listen to the water.
However modest the rooms may be, the Portland Hotel does offer residents something they may not have had before, a genuine home. Mark Townsend.
Well, in general terms, obviously when people moved from a crap building to a brand new building, they were overwhelmed. They might not be so overwhelmed now, but basically in that moment people were overwhelmed and you know, it's a huge, big difference from not having your own bathroom to having your own bathroom. It's like, people don't understand most of the people in the hotels. I mean, people look down on the people in the hotels and think, oh, they're all messy in this. But, you know, that people are living in a 120 square foot room and, you know, they're sharing like three showers and three toilets. So it's not easy. And then all the other stresses, whether it's the mental illness or addiction or just, you know, just feeling so outcast from society and then having no money because you can't really survive, you know, that it's not living on welfare. People that think that people are living high on the hog are just in la-la land, you know? And if they're drowning their sorrows in alcohol or whatever, it's like a short-lived kind of high, you know, because life's so depressing for people. So that's the main thing, that just people have a slightly better place to live, you know? For us, that's our agenda. It's just incremental. It's like a hotel is better than a tent, is better than sleeping in a doorway. A new building is better, you know, at least where you've got something is better than these hotels that are really way past their life expectancy.
Seeing the final design, what was your impression?
Well, I was pleased. I thought it was a difficult brief. We're saying build a durable building for some of the hardest to house people in the city of Vancouver. We have half the budget, so it's not like we've got quadruple the budget to do this. And he did succeed in doing it. Him and Nick and Michelle and Elaine, another one of the architects that worked there, succeeded in doing it. So it's a home for people that otherwise would not have a home.
But Erickson's entanglement with the Portland Hotel did not end with its construction. As Erickson neared the end of his life, he had an unusual but heartening experience.
There's a guy that's just recently died called Arthur, and he was in the old Portland and moved to the new one, and Arthur met him and all that. And when Arthur Erickson was in the hospital, just before he died, he was in the same room as our Arthur was when our Arthur died, and also he had the same care aide that used to work at the Portland. So there was a strange symmetry there. So the same care aide that cared for Arthur Reed in the old Portland was the care aide assigned to Arthur Erickson, who designed, you know, so that it was quite, Arthur Erickson was quite chuffed by that. So,
as for the gift which Mark Townsend had promised Arthur Erickson in return for his efforts, well,
I promised him a desk lamp, which we never got, you know. He had enough desk lamps, you know.
And now, 9 years later, Mark Townsend still thinks that they succeeded in creating something special, more than just an improved version of the SRO Hotel.
Given the difficult brief, I just like the fact that it kind of felt, to me, we're dealing with a very chaotic group, but it felt it had a peace to it. So that's the bit that I like the most. So that's, you know, some sort of peace in its soul somewhere.
After completing the Portland Hotel, Arthur Erickson worked on a few other projects, like the Ritz-Carlton in Vancouver, until he finally succumbed to Alzheimer's, was admitted to a senior care facility, and passed away in May of this year. As for the Portland Hotel Society, well, they're still fighting for new social housing projects. While they have been able to find other architects willing to sacrifice their time, the various levels of government have not shown a comparable generosity. Thanks very much to Mark Townsend and Chandel Billows of the Portland Hotel Society. And thanks also to Stephanie and the other residents of the Portland Hotel who allowed us to tour their home.